All right, welcome to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. This is our last episode of 2024 because next week is a Christmas holiday, so we're not doing an episode. And the week after that will be 2025, and we probably still won't do an episode because I'll be a little toasty that week, so probably won't feel like it that much, at least to speak intelligently and articulate manner about what's going on in the world. I'll probably do fun stuff on stream, just not a podcast. I'm still ironing out my how I want to do stream schedule anyway. And we are still ironing out what day we're gonna record, at least for January 2025. So we'll be back next year. We'll just have a little winter break and then we'll return. But how is it going, Jade? Any church announcements since we last met last week? Hey, Nighthawk.
No. I was like, other than I'm about to be tired all 2025. Y'all, I'm booked and busy. Busy and booked. Yeah. Especially that first half of the year. I'm just busy. But no church announcements, really. I'm trying to think. We've been playing A Way Out. Been streaming it on Mike's channel. So if anybody wants to watch that, you can watch them Brainy Blurred. Because that's entertaining us, getting through these levels. It's like it takes two, except for I have to be sneaky because it's a prison.
Oh.
You were shooting people in the back. Yes. So I was like, yes. But what else? Outside of that, nothing else going on. It's got school and busy. How about you?
Let's see. Church announcements from me. So I am starting I already announced it, so I can announce it publicly. I'm starting a new YouTube channel. This one is basically me reviewing certain shows, certain anime series, not like everything anime, not like random shows, but just, well, random in the sense that if it catches my attention, but it'll still be kind of niched down to trending. Why would it be trending on like Netflix, for example? So or why did Netflix push this for me to watch? So just like kind of like what are people talking about? So I'll be reviewing certain shows and, like I said, certain animes that have like caught traction, and actually a couple of older animes, older in the sense that they've already completed, reach your conclusion in both the manga and the show. But just like animes that I've watched so far that I really like. So, be on the lookout for that. The channel is called Key Takeaways. Don't worry, it's not and not to dunk too much on them, but it's not going to be in the meta of streamer reacts to Divorce Court. It's more so on the side of if you ever watch Emergency Awesome or Screen Crush or Bachelor Fan Takes, anything like that, that's kind of what you'll get with this channel. So, but just like the me version. And then I am also doing two new series on my current YouTube channel for Kingdom Hearts. Definitely deeper dives. I get to flex my degree a little bit more with one of the series. I'm keeping it kind of hush hush right now because internet likes to steal ideas, so I'm kind of paranoid about it. So until my first video is posted, I'll leave it at that. So I too will be booked and busy 2025. I'll just be working, trying to blow up in one way or another. So And then outside of that, nothing really. Just like Cam. I guess the thing I'm looking forward to now is just the next convention, which will probably be DreamCon. I thought it was going to be PAX East, but I got a budget. So PAX East will be probably be 2026. Because I think most of the people I want to see are going to go to Reconnect anyway, which is in July of next year. So because of that, yeah, just looking forward to the next con. And also looking forward to my birthday, which is before that. That's next month.
I can't wait.
I loved having a good birthday month. My poor husband, my poor husband has to, plan for Christmas. And oh, thank you for the follow. Follows are anonymous and they're also silenced because we are currently podcasting, but thank you for the follow. Yeah, I was like, my poor husband has to plan for Christmas, then my birthday, and then budget a little bit to be nice and take me out to dinner for Valentine's Day, and then our wedding anniversary, and then our first time we met dated anniversary. I don't know why. I blame him for picking the wedding date, but yeah. Yeah.
It just all falls in line.
Yeah. But anywho. Yeah, that's all for me as far as church announcements. And that's more so we're getting it out now because we probably won't film again for 2 weeks. So, right. Yeah. But, all right. Without further ado, let's go to our headlines, which is Newsbeat, which is apparently our continuation. I didn't do this on purpose. They did it. I didn't do it. But this is our continuation of We Not the Only Ones Ghetto. So let's talk about Canada. Because I saw a headline that caught my attention, and it was along the lines of Canada's government has fallen. And first off, I was like, when I saw those headlines previously about the other countries like Germany and France, and well, South Korea didn't have that headline, but they're close. But Germany and France in particular is like, well, your government's still kind of functioning. It's not like collapse. Like the people haven't rioted and taken, it's not the French Revolution collapse. Like I think news media should probably find a in between word between functioning and collapse. Cause it's like, you're not doing good, but the guillotine hasn't been set up in your country for your heads of state. So, like, yeah. just saying. Anyway, I saw a headline similar to that about Canada. So I was just like, all right, let's bookmark this for later and let's research a bit. So what had happened was, in battle, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau will shuffle his cabinet Friday. Trudeau is facing rising discontent over his leadership, and the abrupt departure of his finance minister on Monday could be something that he can't recover from. So a rising number of Liberal lawmakers, which is his party, they're calling on him to resign. But the new finance minister, Dominic LeBlanc, said that Trudeau has the full support of his cabinet. That's fluff, as we know. You gotta say that especially if you just got hired. LeBlanc said he respects the views of Liberal lawmakers, though. And the government will remain focused on work. And this is another part of it. Because while shit's going on internally, they're also looking at externally, particularly their neighbors to the south, which is us. LeBlanc said the government will remain focused on work and addressing the threat by president-elect to impose a 25% tariff on all Canadian products, which I did not realize that he said when he is inaugurated next month. So the new finance minister is of the mind of like, we shouldn't be focusing on us right now. We got bigger fish to fry outside of the country. But he did say that he will meet with Tom Homan, who is the incoming border czar, after Christmas, to discuss Canada's plan to secure their border as part of a bid to avoid the tariffs. So a little background on Trudeau, in case y'all didn't know. Trudeau has been around for a while. He's led the country for almost a decade now, but apparently he's become wildly unpopular in recent years because of high cost of living, rising inflation, which is obviously a blowback from the pandemic, but it doesn't help him because he was the one in power when it happened. And there's no mechanism for Trudeau's party to force him out in the short term. He could resign, or his party, the Liberal Party, could be forced from power by a no confidence vote in parliament. So basically, when these parliaments, the more European systems, when these parliaments do a no confidence vote, it kind of it does trigger a re-election at that point, but it's basically saying if there's no confidence, then like the party that has the majority should essentially lose their seat. So it's kind of like being primaried almost, but it's kind of an interesting system. We don't really have a no confidence vote. We tend to lose our lawmakers in the midterms or when they're primaried out, or when they get arrested on federal charges that usually relate to bribery. So yeah, those are the main three. Yeah, a no confidence vote would trigger an election that would very likely favor the opposing Conservative Party, which has been happening all over. And shortly before, Freeland, who was Trudeau's former finance minister, before she announced her decision to resign, the housing minister also quit. So that's what we got going on up to the north. And for those of us, or for those of you who well remember the 2016-2020 threats of "I'm moving to Canada if a certain person wins," and like whining about moving to Canada, yeah, it's not that great up there. Apparently, like, they have issues too, guys. Actually, I thought it was interesting because I did see a post shortly after our election was called. I guess it was someone from Canada basically saying like, yeah, Canadians, don't be so comfy because our shit's not looking really good either. And it's like, well, who would have guessed that was foresight for what was to come? But what are your thoughts, Jade?
Yeah, I'm just more shocked that, well, I mean, not shocked, because most politicians go through that where they lose their favor over time. So it's not, they're never going to be 100% in favor, not in favor, but in everyone's lost for words. But it's not going to have, everybody's not going to be on their side all the time.
Yeah.
And but it's surprising though, because like for Canada, that's their boy. It's like, just to know, that's their boy.
Well, it was.
right? It's like, he was the young, hip, cool guy who came in and was shaking things up. And it was like, that was their person. That was what Pete Buttigieg would have been to us.
Yes.
That's what he was to them.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of surprising, but also not surprising, that the country itself is turning on him. But like you said, after the blowback results of COVID and everything that happened after that, where the economy takes a nosedive, it's hard to separate a global pandemic happening and the results of it against the politician that's in power at the time.
Especially when it hasn't happened in over 100 years, or in about 100 years.
Exactly. Like, we only get things like that every 100 years. Something comes along to wipe out a mass number of people, like some disease. So it's just like, the economy takes a hit.
Yeah,
but that's not at his fault. But he was in power. Mm-hmm. He was in place in power when it happened. So yeah, But yeah, the borders, like Em said, it's ghetto. It's just equally as ghetto over there. It's equally as ghetto. Nobody wants to be, as they're having hard times, especially with the wanting to, President-elect Donald Trump wants to impose the tariffs. And that's a high amount, 25%.
Yeah, I was like, that's higher than the mass tariffs he was proposing in the first place to everybody. And I know he was proposing something wild to China, like 60%. I was just like, good Lord. Yeah. But I was like, that's kind of high for our neighbors, ain't it? And it's not even southern neighbors. Not that they deserve high, not that Mexico deserves high tariffs at all. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying for what I thought, I thought he had a friendlier impression of Canada. I was a little surprised.
Exactly. I was like, that's high. But yeah, they're gonna be not as, just like how when people say Atlanta, we fool, they don't want you there. Canada is probably like, we're fool, we don't want you here.
They have seen, I can't even say that, because it's like, again, it's like, they can't really talk, per se, because they're about to flip coin as well at this point, but yeah.
I mean, I'm just waiting to see, like, I wonder if he would actually resign.
I think as of, like, 2 days ago, he was like, I'm not going anywhere. I think he's standing 10 toes down, so it'll be up to Parliament to do that no confidence vote to trigger a re-election. Also, part of me was like, I know you can't be prime minister forever, but it did kind of strike me as like, how long can you be prime minister up there? Because I feel like he's gone through some re-elections as well, so I don't know how many term limits they have. I know, like, over in the UK, it's every 5 years. I don't know about other places, but yeah.
Wonder if only he gets to be prime minister forever. Because, I mean, for the millennial generation, it works in favor of that. It's the elder generations that kind of are not on board as much. They have problems too.
Are you talking about extending term limits or like switching over to a more parliamentary system?
Switching to a more parliamentary system.
Yeah. I mean, you would think if we're modeling, well, that's the thing. We kind of wrestled ourselves away from the UK or Britain, Great Britain, I guess, at the time, but we kind of wrestled ourselves away from them, but we also modeled quite a bit of our political system off of them. So it's like, do we want to be like them or not? A bit of it. Like, I think the founders were trying to be a little bit and Britain was ruled by monarchy then, but even whoever there was a monarch, it was the king during the American Revolution, but even the king had a court of advisors, which over time, that's what they kind of transitioned into with the prime minister and parliament. Once they like gave power to parliament as opposed to the monarchy. But yeah, I don't know if we'd ever switch to a parliamentary system, just because, like, I feel like, and this is, I know you say millennials, but it's like, we're not directly in the middle, but we're almost in the middle now, because we got Gen Z's and Gen Alpha coming up. So with Gen Z, especially with how social media in particular has affected their brains. I can't really say for sure if they'd be on board either. I think millennials are now are just in a unique situation of like, oh, this would be cool. And everybody else is just like, no. Because the older folks are like Red Scare, socialist communists, and the younger folks just don't really know what's going on. and are looking at Skibbity in Fortnite now.
Oh my god, Skibbity. I torture my nephews with that so much. They hate it. They hate it. I'm like, Skibbity Pap.
I was just like, it's one of those, like, I hate that I know about that, and that's only because I was doing so much YouTube education, so it finally came up of, like, because it's YouTube education for gaming, so of course they talked about Skibbity in, what was it, Minecraft? Or Roblox? Mm. One of those.
Yeah.
But, yeah, now they've invaded Fortnite, so... Have fun with that for y'all who play Fortnite. I'm so glad I haven't played that game.
It's actually low-key fun. I didn't like the mechanics of the running. It was very slow. It's not like Apex where it's like and you can feel it slide. I just didn't like the mechanics of Fortnite.
Yeah, you might not like the mechanics of, like, Rivals or Overwatch then, because they run slow, too.
Yeah, I tried with Marvel Rivals, and it's too quick for me.
Oh, like, the battles are too quick, but they run slow?
it's a lot going on for me to process.
Oh, okay.
It's too much going on. I was like, oh, no, that's... nope.
Fair enough. It is a lot going on. You kind of got, like, you gotta be locked in for real doing that. But at any rate, all right, moving on. That was our bit of gaming news. Enjoy your Skibbity toilets. moving on to Creator Hub. Not a lot of updates since, because it's the end of the year, basically. But you can now control your clip discoverability on Twitch. And clip search filters have been released to all creators. So for those of you who are, like, doing your own clips or pushing, like, featured clips on your channel, that should be, like, a lot more user-friendly, easier, all of that. For YouTube is, okay, this is really interesting. YouTube is testing Watch With, which allows creators to do live commentary on live sports content. So they're testing it currently. I'm guessing the biggest influx of that test will probably come next week at the Christmas football game. So that'll be very interesting to see how that does metrics wise, but, so basically what YouTube is doing is, like, how if you watch on a regular network TV, watching a football game and you see the live commentators as well, YouTube's doing that same thing, but with streamers or content creators. That ought to be, like, really interesting, which in a way we already do that, because it's one of those, like, I feel like, really interesting, but I also feel like it's a little redundant, because there's part of me that's like, can't content creators just do that on their own? But then copyright, because those live games are hella copyrighting. You gotta be a tech god to find workarounds to that without getting in trouble.
Correct.
So correct. Yeah. But. Yeah, that ought to be really interesting, especially, like I said, with the NFL Christmas game that's going to be next week. But your thoughts on clips on Twitch being more discoverable and or the YouTube Watch With sports events?
That's good. That's one of those useful tools that Twitch has come out with. because your clips mainly, they're just on your channel, and you can push it in outside places by posting your clips, but this would, like, bringing it more to the forefront to where people can actually, they're blurred, they're more visible now, which is much better, especially for creators who are bigger or who are trying to get noticed more. They can have people actually see those moments in gaming, because sometimes that's what, like, makes or breaks a channel. It can help you tremendously where, like, a little, we live in a culture where 9-second videos are it for you. So that quick little clip can give you so much in one sitting. So it's a really good tool that they actually put out that is making it more discoverable. And you can actually search different clips, which is good. So, like, if you want, because there are people, like, who are going to treat it like TikTok, who are going to treat it like Instagram, where they just search for certain keywords, and then they come up and find those clips, and they can scroll, like, doom scroll in those clips. So that's pretty cool. Like I said, with the YouTube, people are already doing that. They just found a way to monopolize on it now and, like, make it to where it's legal to do. It's kind of like how people are always doing watch parties, but then Amazon was like, hey, you can do legal watch parties if you use our Prime videos, which they took away anyway. But, yeah, it's like you're already doing that. They're still going to do it even without that. So they're going to find a way to do it. whether it's going to be through using the methods that YouTube has or not. But also, that's kind of that. On the other hand, though, that's also very major that they're doing it, because that can open the doors for having different networks allow their content to be live, not live stream, but reaction to it in like the likes of the watch parties, basically. So that way you can react to it in real time. You can talk with your community about it in real time, watch it together. And if they actually make deals with different they can make deals with different networks to where your stuff won't get copyrighted and knocked down just because of that, based off of just this one instance where they're testing the waters with it. I feel like that's what the direction that they would end up going. By testing it out with the NFL. NFL, they keep their stuff locked down as well. Like, you're not even allowed to call it the Super Bowl. That's why in ads and all that stuff, you're not allowed to call it Super Bowl. It's the big game. That's why everybody refers to it as the big game, because they own the rights to the Super Bowl.
Oh, so, I did not know that.
That's why. That's why if you ever, like, notice around the time all the commercials, they'd be like, oh, the big game's coming on, or like the deals, and they never say Super Bowl deals. They would be like, get a TV for the big game.
Yeah.
They will not say the Super Bowl because they own it.
I never knew. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix, you're not allowed to try this till you get your live streaming shit together.
Screaming because they be trying and they fail every single time. Every time people are so let down by it, and it's like,
you think they're gonna fail with Beyonce next week?
Oh my god, just film it and then show us after the words. Like, y'all can have like an hour turnaround time, and it's okay.
Yes,
but live. No, because all you're going to get is the sorry, it's been interrupted, or we're not playing with them.
Alrighty. Yeah. All right, moving on to broader creator industry news. The U.S. Appeals Court rejected TikTok's emergency motion to delay the ban. Therefore, TikTok must quickly request that the Supreme Court hear its case, and it did. So SCOTUS is actually set to hear arguments on January 10th. The ban actually goes into effect January 19th. I don't know if a stay in motion. Wait, is that the right? If a stay will be filed. to push that out a little bit, because Supreme Court kind of takes forever. Well, they take forever on some stuff. On other stuff, they tend to have a speedy decision. But I forgot to add this. Apparently, there's going to be a U.S. version of this app called Neptune. That is, I think it's in beta mode or getting ready to be pushed out. It does have a cute little octopus. I was like, oh, that's cute. So I don't know if I think it is possible for Neptune, for example, to be basically TikTok without the concern of whatever was in the original blueprint linked to China, if that's such a big security concern. So I'm curious to see if Neptune will kind of be like the Blue Sky version in that sense, because Blue Sky has gotten a lot more popular, like within the past month and a half. It seems like its moderation is very like solid. I mean, it definitely has flaws. It's not perfect, but yeah, as a one-to-one comparison, it's way more solid than, you know, the other app. So, moderation-wise. So, like, very curious to see if it'll be a Blue Sky effect where you basically you miss the old TikTok, so you go to Neptune. You can't have TikTok anymore, so you go to Neptune in the sense of, like, people were missing the old Twitter, so they went to Blue Sky. So, I'm curious about that. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, they should just bring back Vine. Like, literally, just bring Vine back.
I was never on the Vine.
I was. I loved Vine. And the videos were killing me. I followed all the major accounts. And, like, all the people that went from Vine and they started doing YouTube because Vine died.
Yeah.
It's like, I was a part of that community to where I was watching them on Vine. Like the King Bashes and the Liza Cozies before she got big. And yeah, it's like, yes. But no, I'm surprised to see, not surprised, but I want to see how fast I can actually try to push this through. Because like you said, some things can take a while to get through with the Supreme Court. So I'm just seeing, I'm wondering how long it'll actually take, if the ban will go in place. People will lose their minds if TikTok is banned, because there are people who, that's their bread and butter. Their whole personality is just based off of TikTok.
In that sense, it might be for the best, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Like, I know this is going to be old auntie get off my porch talking, but it's gonna be okay.
Like, go touch some grass. It's okay. But no. I'm just curious to see what the future holds for TikTok, and if we don't have TikTok anymore, more apps like the Neptune, and like other variations that'll come out, and like which one actually be on top and become the popular one. So, yeah.
Yep. I guess we'll see, but it's going to be interesting. I'll be watching. I have an interest because it's interesting, but I mean, even though I have a TikTok account and I do post my gaming clips on there, if it goes away, I do understand people have made their like bread and butter on there. For better or for worse. And the ones who are for worse, I'm like, well, probably need to go away anyway. But the ones who made like good content, who've made their bread and butter, I hope that they were at least platform agnostic enough to not just be on TikTok, but be on other platforms, so that they have fallbacks. Or at least posted this their same content on somewhere like Instagram, so that they can keep it going, basically. So get ready to pivot, people. If it does go away.
Yes.
All right. Moving on, Stream Elements has launched a beta of their multi-streaming tool, which I have not opened and or looked into yet. Might be something I try out since I do multi-stream on Twitch and YouTube. Not this podcast, but gaming stuff. But yeah, so would be interested to try that out so that I can stop using Restream and that everything will be nice and neat. Not that I have an issue with Restream per se, but it's just flipping back and forth and then turning it off when we do the podcast. It's a whole thing. So, yes, if Stream Elements wants to be more efficient with the multi-streaming tool, I'm all for it because that's what I use.
It's a pretty natural progression with them too, because they do have like other useful tools that bring over facets from different sites to help you stream.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a natural progression to be like, hey, and now we have a multi-streaming tool that you can use in-house instead of using something else.
Yep. So, and maybe it'll stop my internet from being so wonky sometimes. So, because it's not jumping back and forth. But yeah, we'll see. And then Threads is launching its version of Blue Sky starter packs based on popular topics. I know Threads is a thing. I kind of sort of have an account. I just don't know. I don't know how well it's holding up, especially compared to like Blue Sky. I don't know. Do you be on Threads like that?
No. Oh, I downloaded it and then I got rid of it so fast. And every once in a while I'll see something on Instagram and I'll be like, huh, I want to know what the rest of this says. And I'll click on it and be like, download Threads. I'm like, no. But I'm okay.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah. So, well, if there's any more updates, we'll see. I don't know. Threads, I feel like Threads rushed it a bit. Blue Sky took its time because not everybody was on Blue Sky at once either. You had to like, it was beta. Then when it launched, you had to get a access code basically, or invite. And then when they felt comfortable enough, then they opened it up to everybody. So I think Blue Sky did take the cake with that one. All right, moving on to our Just Don't Care for this week. Our Just Don't Care for this week nominee is HBO for pulling Sesame Street. Yeah, because of that, new Sesame Street episodes are on hold as their nonprofit search for a new distributor. My inkling tells me it had to do with profit or profit margins, or they just wanted more money or something to that effect. But it's like, come on, guys, Sesame Street is public broadcasting. It's like public service. Yeah, whatever.
They want these babies to be dumb.
They really do. They really do. And it's like, and why do y'all want us to have kids again? Because right. If I, you know, we do have kids, I'm like, my baby ain't gonna be dumb. y'all may not like that, but yeah. That's unfortunate. But yeah, new, like I said, new episodes are on hold until they find a new distributor.
We'll never get more Rocco and Elmo sagas. Like, come on.
Maybe they'll take it online. Maybe they'll like find a way to take it online and push it out that way.
Maybe. But I feel like it wouldn't be the same production value.
Nah, probably not.
But it's been like a staple since childhood, like
yes,
Sesame Street has been around. So it's kind of weird. It feels weird if they'd be like shut it down and be like, okay, no more Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. If they don't get bought by someone else.
Yeah.
It's just like,
oh. There's got to be some like benevolent multimillionaire. I don't know about billionaires, but multimillionaire who might want to invest and buy.
Or, you know, there's like some, I don't want to say the other one, so I'll say Kev on.
You said Kev on stage. Oh, wait, your volume. I think your computer's doing the thing again.
Okay.
There you go.
I was like, Kevin, I said, you got an app.
Oh, like that app is gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that app gone. We had the funeral for it and everything.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
It was the whole repass, yeah.
Dang.
Dang. Yeah.
Nobody's safe.
it's basically finances, maintenance fees and all that.
Because
you gotta pay that maintenance fee to keep the app up, so that was basically why. Dang, now I'm kind of curious. I was like, who is your other one?
Somebody who don't know, but Tyler Perry.
No, we're good.
The one person who has enough money to do it and could probably get it going with a network or something, especially because they have their own studios.
It's like his heart will be in the right place, but he don't hire writers, and so like no,
exactly. Like Madea goes to Sesame Street.
Hello, no,
children.
No, that's all right. Never mind. Yeah, I
like Elmo. Can you say Georgia?
God. Yeah. So that's all we got. Huh?
That's all we got. that's all we got. But hopefully another network picks it up. But that's not Time Warner. So
yeah.
We got a couple other networks, and plus, I wonder if some, like, Paramount. I easily see that on their app.
Yeah, it could push it to Paramount Plus, because Paramount has all the, I mean, they're not the same company or network by any means, but Paramount does have a lot of Nickelodeon shows on there, so I don't see what an issue would be if they did have to have Sesame Street on there as well.
Yes. And then the only thing about moving to another network is distributing rights for the older episodes and older seasons.
Yeah.
Are they taking them with them or do they stay with HBO? It's like, Or will they lease them out to where they'll pay a lump sum and for X amount of years get access to them? Kind of like how Netflix does with certain networks.
Yeah.
Their shows.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Hopefully, I like the Paramount idea, but hopefully Sesame Street will be adopted again.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. That was it for our Just Don't Care for the week. Moving on to a weekly roundup. And this one's quite interesting. And it could lead to a whole conversation because interesting. So Mr. Beast got a show called Beast Games. It's on Prime, Amazon Prime. It's now available for streaming. Actually, I think it's the first two episodes. Definitely the first episode, maybe the first two. But Mr. Beast is the host of a new competition series that he claims has the largest cash prize in game show history. Per the show's description, 1,000 contestants will fight through 10 episodes and physical and mental challenges for prizes that include... Oh, that was written wrong. So it's copy and paste, my bad. For prizes, I include $5 million, a private island, and Lamborghinis. New episodes will premiere weekly through mid-February. So Beast Games is a combination of Netflix's Squid Game, NBC's defunct Fear Factor, and CBS's long-running series Survivor. By the second episode... second episode is out now. But by the second episode, the number of contestants narrowed to 500. However, Beast Games has made headlines in recent months as several contestants have sued Mr. Beast, a.k.a. Jimmy Donaldson, and Amazon for workplace abuse, citing unsafe conditions, harassment, and denial of necessities like food and sleep. I got one thing to say to start the conversation, and then we'll fall into it. So I don't think Mr. Beast, aka Jimmy, I don't think he's actually a bad guy. I think he has been grinding on YouTube since he was a kid, and I'll give him that. He's like, he put the work in. But that said, he's only 26. I think he blew up. While he blew up organically, I still think he blew up way too fast for someone so young. And now, like, while he's having these, he's doing good with his money on the one hand, but I'm seeing a lot of mistakes he's doing. I mean, he's like almost a billionaire at this point. So like, he can afford it. But it kind of unfortunately comes at the expense of other people maybe working under him or people who are participating like in Beast Games, for example. So stuff like the Mr. Beats, like Lunchables, I forgot what they're called, but the Mr. Beast version of the Lunchables, the Beast Games that we're seeing, I feel like we're seeing like mistakes where like when they had the Moldy Lunchables. From whatever they were making, and now this where they say they were suing. Now he's being sued because of unsafe conditions and harassment and denial of necessities and workplace abuse, which it doesn't mean that he himself is doing all of these horrible things, but blew up a little too quickly for someone so young, so I don't think he's really aware or has a team or knows how to pick people who will make sure that his ass isn't sued that much for these things. So yeah, it's one of those like and usually I don't root for white men like that, but it's one of those like I feel like he's a rootable person. But yeah, these mistakes you're making, he'll probably be fine by like 50. But right now it's just like, it's one of those things where if a mistake is a little too big at this point, it could like, he could be done. And like done, or maybe like we'll have to pivot back and go back to just YouTube stuff. So I don't know, that's just my thoughts, but yeah. But what are your thoughts on this? I'm still gonna watch the show, but what are your thoughts on this?
I think what it is that he's doing things that he used to do on YouTube when he had a smaller audience, and he's still trying to translate that over to a larger audience. But with that, you get the lawsuits, you get the workplace harassment, you get this, you get that. And like, I'm sitting here like, these people who sign up for to be on his videos and like the show and everything, have y'all never seen any of his videos? Like,
I feel like they explain what it will be and this is me though. If I see something like Beast Games, I get an overview of like, think about Fear Factor, think about how Fear Factor used to be, or think about Survivor. Then I'm going to do my research and be like, so how bad were those shows back then? Oh no, I'm not doing that. No, we good.
But I'm like, that's, He does those the games where he has like 100 people in a room and then they duke it out until it's only one left to win some money, and like they bring in porta potties, so like they don't even get real bathroom breaks, they get porta potties.
Yeah.
Brought into the room. So I'm like, y'all, you literally are signing up for certain things. But like, who's to say whatever that person went through, who's suing? But again, I'm also on the side of you kind of get what you sign up for. But no, and I agree with, I think that he had an organic blow up and he built his community. He built, like, he does good with his money. It's just a lot of the YouTubers, a lot of the Twitch streamers that come out more recently, even though MrBeast has been around for the last like decade now, but he's still part of that younger group because he is young. They get into this money so quickly at a young age. And it's not like, oh, I'm a thousandaire. It's like, no, y'all are coming out as millionaires. And so they need better people around them because, again, you're doing the same videos that you would do on your YouTube channel. And on a smaller scale, you probably wouldn't get sued because they sign their waivers. They think like, oh, I'm going to be on YouTube. And like, that's the end of it. Whereas this, you have more money behind it. People know there's more money behind it. So when you're sued, they can hold like the network liable. They can hold you liable. They can hold whatever production company liable. There's way more hands and pockets that that can get reached to. It's like, that's how I think of that. That he should definitely have. I feel like his content, even though this is what he's known for, should switch up just a little bit. But again, that's the gimmick behind him, like this, the gimmick behind the show, because this is what he's known for doing. Outside of like his philanthropy efforts, this is what he's known for his videos, of having those people who are like, we have hundreds of people together and they're going to go until it's just one. It's just Hunger Games, but not Hunger Games, but Squid Games, but people aren't dying.
Right.
I was like, even when before the Squid Games Netflix show came out, not the Squid Games, the show, but the,
oh, but the reality show. Yeah.
Yeah. He did his own version of Squid Games.
Mm-hmm.
Like before that. So I'm like, he beat them to the punch. So I'm like, yeah, like this is something that he's known for, what he does. Do I think that he needs to switch it up a little bit just because he has a wider audience and more money so you can be held liable for things? Yes. Do I think he should abandon it altogether? No. Just tweak it. Because I don't know how. That's not my job. but that's just something for the safety of his own pockets, because people count other people's money. So there will always be people who will sue for allegations for doing all kinds of different stuff. I was surprised that this show was even coming out because of the hot water that he's not in directly, but the people that he's employed, how they're in hot water.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, oh, and it's still going to come out? Like, okay. So like, that was more of the shocking part. So I was like, oh. Yeah,
I'm not saying like he should abandon his like don't abandon you know, aiming higher, just more so like, I just got a bad feeling something's gonna happen that sets him back quite a bit. I don't know if it's, maybe I gotta download or something, but yeah. Hopefully not. Cause I mean, he's not our generation. Gen Z, but I mean, like I said, I'm more so just like, I hope nothing too bad really happens, because I do appreciate his philanthropy. So he'll be like, dang it, you're a likable big YouTuber. I don't even like really watch his content. I just have heard of him a lot. I was like, oh, but he actually does like good philanthropic work. So, like I said, I'm probably still gonna watch the show, because that's the duality of being human. Yes, these people went through a lot. I still want to watch the show because I'm curious. Maybe morbidly curious, but curious. Anything else on Mr. Beast, though?
Not on Mr. Beast.
No? Okay. No. All right, y'all. I'm sleepy, and I gotta go work in the morning. So, thank you for coming out to another episode of the MSC Talks podcast. Like I said, this is our last episode of 2024. Hopefully, you enjoyed it. I know we've been and miss this year. We gonna try to do better. I ain't making no promises. We're gonna try to do better next year. I'm gonna work smarter, not harder. And now that I know myself a bit more, expect a little more consistency, hopefully, but also expect a few more announced breaks in summer hours. Definitely stealing that from Kettle Stage. Just because summers are tough for me. For you, girl. I just like to sleep under a fan. That's me. So,
that and then me at school. Because,
yeah.
Working full time and being in school full time.
It's a lot, ain't it?
It's a whole lot. I had the bright idea of taking 15 hours this semester.
I don't know who told you to do that. You could have called me. I would have been like, don't do that.
I slept on it, and the next morning I woke up. I said, I'm going to drop a class because, girl, you tripping. I was like, Mike gave me this look when I did it. And then, like, you sure you can handle that? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, I just want the full course load. And I was like, yeah, we're fine. Mm-mm. And I woke up the next morning like, we're not fine. No, that's a bad idea.
So, yeah. So, between the work and the school and the YouTube stuff and, yeah. Like I said, we are gonna aim to be more consistent, but we also gonna take breaks when needed, so. But we'll see y'all in 2025, hopefully. So,
appreciate the aliens don't get us.
Actually, low-key, if they, I don't know, it depends on what they're offering.
They in New York, so apparently, so
they are. Up. Oh, you're talking about that. I don't think that was an alien, but
and now they're like, there were aliens in the Bronx too.
Oh Lord,
because there was another drone, so it was like, yeah,
hilarious, because Men in Black did take place in New York, so
mm-hmm. I would. The way that people mind their business here, I would definitely 100% be like, if aliens came and they wanted to go unnoticed and they just were in New York, I would 100% believe it. People mind their business.
They do.
Yes. They can be on the subway, somebody just screaming at the top of their lungs, and everybody just be like.
That's why
Men in
Black makes sense
that
it's here.
So it's like, yeah. I believe it.
But yeah, so, but like I said, we hope to see y'all in 2025 for another season. And like I said before, appreciate y'all for coming out to our last episode of 2024.